Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Raising Saints, an AM 820 production designed for parents who desire to raise the saints in their life. And now, Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt.
Hello and welcome to Raising Saints, the show for Catholic parents. I'm your host, Katie Wyatt, and you're listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Here on Raising Saints, we talk to teenagers about the topics that matter most, and then we invite you, our parents, to listen in to our conversations. And it is our hope that in listening, you will gain insight and wisdom and maybe even the courage you might need to have these conversations with your own Catholic teenagers. We're here to help you raise the saints in your life. So thank you for joining us today. We have a great program today. I think it will resonate with many of our listeners. Today we are talking about Catholic guilt. I searched so hard for a joke on the internet about this topic, but most of the ones I found weren't really appropriate. But I think we can all relate to that Catholic guilt because I think we've all experienced it in different ways in our lives. But usually or often when we hear that phrase, it carries with it a negative connotation. But today we want to talk about more of the positive aspects of what's become affectionately called Catholic guilt. So here to talk to us today about this topic are three of our very wonderful teenagers. Why don't you tell us your name and where you go to school?
I'm Emily, and I go to Bishop Hartley.
I'm Jonathan, and I'll be a freshman at Ohio State.
I'm Kaylee, and I'll be a senior at Bishop Watterson.
Okay, great. And Jonathan, congratulations on graduation.
Thank you.
That's
Thank
pretty
you.
Exciting. Yes. Although we'll be sad when you go to Ohio State. We'll have to have you
yes.
back before we lose you. Okay. So how would you describe, let's talk about just regular guilt, just guilt in general. What is it? What is guilt?
Okay. So I guess guilt would just be like a negative, like almost like a regret, a negative feeling of wishing that, things happened a different way or that you responded to something in a different way.
Okay. Would either of you add to that, Emily or Kaylee?
I think that was pretty spot on.
Okay.
Thank
I
you.
Agree.
You agree. Okay. So how is Catholic guilt different from just guilt in general?
I mean, a lot of people use the term Catholic guilt in like what you said, a derogative manner, saying like, oh, you're Catholic, so you have all these strict rules that you have to abide by, and so that's why they use the term. But really, I don't know if there's necessarily a difference between Catholic guilt and normal guilt, because like you say that all the, like when we have these teachings about like abortion and birth control and different like topics that people could feel guilty about, I don't think they necessarily feel guilty because they're Catholic. I think like everybody knows like what's wrong and what's right, so they just have this like innate feeling in them of like,
it's just their conscience,
yeah,
so to speak. Okay.
Yeah.
Does guilt necessarily have to deal with regret? Like, do you always feel guilty about something you've done, or can you feel guilty about
something you didn't do?
Something you didn't do, or something that's going on that you don't really have a part of, but you feel, actually, you know what? Wait on that. We'll come back to that. Okay. Let's just expand our understanding of guilt a little bit more first. Why does Catholic guilt have the negative connotation it does have? Like, what are people referring to when they're talking about that? Or why does that, like, I appreciate my Catholic guilt. I'm grateful for it. Like, it keeps me out of trouble. It keeps me, you know, keeps me on the path to holiness. Like, I do not think it's a negative thing at all. So why has culturally it been spun as this, like, as a bad thing, do you think?
I think a lot of people use it, or they see other people referring to guilt and think that they're trying to use it to get attention, and that they're using it too often because they might not understand, like, why someone feels guilty.
Okay, wait, what do you mean by that? Okay, so someone using guilt to get attention. Give me an example of that.
If someone feels bad for something that they did that they feel damages their relationship with God or with someone around them, then other people might think that it wasn't a big deal and that they shouldn't worry about it.
Okay, I think I see what you're saying. So while I may be having a regret or guilt about something, somebody else may say, you're being stupid. You're blowing this out of proportion. That's not that big of a deal. You know, your church is making you feel that way.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with that. I think a lot of times, like with me, like I'll feel really bad about something and try to voice that to my friends, and they'll just like look at me like, are you crazy? Like, I do that all the time, or like everybody does that. It's not a big deal. And then I'll feel really stupid because it's like, well, I don't want to be doing that. But when everybody else does it, then I guess you kind of look like, I don't know if a Jesus freak might be the right term. I mean,
yeah. Or even just out of touch, or even just too scrupulous, or whatever.
Yeah.
However somebody wants to perceive it. Yeah.
Yeah, that happened to me. I missed church last Sunday and I felt so bad. So I was like, I need to go to church. And my friends were like, I haven't been to church in weeks. What are you talking about?
Oh my gosh.
Right.
And I was like,
ugh. You know, that's funny you say that, because I was just thinking about that. Like, one of the great, I'm jumping ahead, but I was thinking this, it is Catholic guilt that gets us to Mass every week. And that's not a bad thing, you know, like think about the things that would get in the way, or the excuses we would make, or the, if we didn't have that sort of underlying, whether we're conscious of it or not, that underlying knowledge that I have to go to Mass.
Yeah.
I'm Catholic. It's my obligation, you know.
I think Catholic guilt also gets us to avoid a lot of things that other people don't see. So like paying attention in Mass. If we're sitting in Mass and we're not paying attention, we're daydreaming or whatever, no one's going to know but us. So the only thing that keeps us like focused and paying attention when we don't want to be is knowing that we should be. So I think Catholic guilt helps us with that.
Jonathan, I wanted to ask you about what you were talking about earlier, about how if you have guilt about something or regret about something and your friends are like, what are you talking about? I do that all the time. Or Kaylee, what are you talking about? I haven't been to Mass in weeks. Do you think that people sincerely don't feel guilty about those things? Or do you think people are feeling guilty themselves and trying not to? So they're trying to like make it the norm?
That's a tough question, because only they know that. But I feel like a lot of times people will feel guilty about something, but it's really inconvenient to do it the other way, like going to Mass or any, like insert any example. So they like, they make fun of you, or they just like blow it off to like make themselves feel like, you know, it's not a big deal. And then I do think that like if you do that for a while, you can start just like believing yourself.
Right. Changing what is morally acceptable for yourself.
Right.
Right.
I think that the amount of guilt that a person has depends on how developed their conscience is. Like from what we've learned about, there's 7 different types of consciences. And like the scrupulous conscience is one that feels guilty for everything, whereas some don't feel guilty for anything. So that will like determine how much guilt you have out of something.
Oh, I haven't heard that discussion before. I'd be interested in that. And then I would, of course, want to know where I fall on the spectrum. Yeah. When you learned about it, did you plug yourself into one of the 7 different types of 7 different consciences?
I tried to. We learned about it like with reconciliation and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. Which we'll talk about. We'll get to reconciliation, because that's an important element in this conversation, of course. So we've touched on this a little bit. Emily, you talked about paying attention in Mass, and Kaylee, you talked about going to Mass. But can guilt be a useful thing in our efforts to live out faith?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you feel like it's a gift from God? Like, did God give us guilt?
Like, because if we didn't have guilt, then why would we not sin? Like, why would we just, like, you know, like you sin and then you feel guilty, so you, because you know it's wrong, so you don't sin again, or you
right.
try not to. So if you don't feel guilty, then you can just do whatever you want.
Right. And originally we didn't need guilt because
right.
we didn't have sin. but God in his mercy, I don't know, every day God blows my mind. That seems like a silly thing to say, but it's true. In his mercy, just continuous mercy. So sin enters the world, so now God gives us guilt so that we can avoid sin. You know, it's not, God didn't just leave us to our own sinful devices to, you know, just run ourselves into the ground, which we do, but he gave us something to deter us from the sinfulness, anyway, I'm just going off on a tangent as usual. Okay, the way I see it, I think there are two
benefits of guilt, two different benefits. And we've sort of started to talk about this. The first one I would see as a deterrent. So, Jonathan, this is what you started talking about. No, it wasn't. You talked about regret. Okay. Sorry. I'm misrepresenting you. A deterrent, right? If we feel guilty about doing something like, I'm not going to sneak out of my house because then I would have to lie to my parents because then I would, you know, like, guilt can deter us from entering into sinful actions.
Yeah.
So in addition to sneaking out of your house and lying to your parents, which are two brilliant examples that I just came up with, what would be some other examples that how guilt is useful in a teenage conscience? Like, what are some scenarios where you think guilt can save lives or save souls or say, you know, save teenagers from? I'm sure you've been in situations among your friends where your guilt has really kept you out of some trouble.
Yeah. This is kind of a weird example, but I'm just thinking of like texting and driving. Like,
no, that's a great example.
Yeah. I mean, like, because the whole reason why, no, like, people try not to text and drive is because they feel guilty. Like, if I were to get in a crash, then I could either like hurt myself, hurt somebody else, or just hurt my car.
Do people feel guilty or do people feel scared in that situation?
Well, I guess it depends. Like, I would feel guilty because I'd feel pretty bad if I like really hurt somebody. I guess other people maybe could have fear just of like getting in trouble.
See, now I feel guilty about texting and driving because I threaten my husband and my children.
Right.
So yeah. I can't do it because I've told them not to do it. For me, it's guilt more than fear.
Yeah.
Either way, either one is a good motivator in that situation, though.
Right.
What are some other scenarios in which guilt is a great thing for teenagers?
I think it's a good deterrent from gossip because, I mean, in the moment, sometimes gossip seems like it's not hurting anyone or anything. So realizing or starting to feel guilty about other people's feelings or anything when rumors are being spread can stop you from spreading them.
Good one.
I say cheating, like in school and stuff. Towards the last couple weeks of school, for me, we had a situation happen in my classroom for one of our finals. Kid found one of our finals and took pictures of it and was spraying it around to our grade. So it was like I ended up telling the teacher because I would have felt bad. Like, I didn't do anything to stop it, but all these kids would have like cheated anyways. And if they got a better grade than me, then I would have like.
Kaylee, that is the best example I've ever heard.
And it's real.
It is. And it just happened.
Yeah.
So that was a great way for you to handle that. Like, I have to tell the teacher this. I have no other choice.
Yeah.
Whereas other kids are like, oh, I've got the test. Now I know what to study. Or you could have done nothing.
Yeah, that's what some of them, like, our whole class saw it happen. And some people were like, oh, send me it. And other people were like, I'm staying out of it. And yeah. I was like, I have to tell. Like, this is not right.
Okay, so I have to know. This doesn't really have anything to do with, but... Do people know that you're the one that told the teacher?
No, I told them in like private.
Well, now you know they all listen to this program.
Yeah.
And now
I heard
all
that a bunch of Watterson kids listen to this, so watch out.
Oh, no.
Just kidding.
Kaylee looks a little panicky right now. We're just kidding, Kaylee.
Just kidding.
Please, if your kids go to Watterson, do not tell on Kaylee for this one. That was awesome. Okay, so one of the benefits of guilt is that is a deterrent. And you guys all just gave great examples. I think one of the other benefits of guilt is that it's a good motivator for things we don't, either things we aren't going to do because we'll feel guilty, or it moves us to action sometimes. Have you ever been moved to action by guilt? Well, actually, Kaylee.
Perfect example.
Yeah, the example you just gave is a great one, right? But I don't know. Can you think of other examples where your guilt makes you, okay, I just can't sit here and do nothing. I have to do something. Have you found yourself in that situation before?
I think doing service makes me feel that way a lot because we'll all be complaining about like little things that don't matter. And then we'll see other people that don't have the opportunities that we have or the abilities that we have. And it either can guilt you into doing more service or to being more aware of it or just praying about it more.
That's a great example.
Yeah. I think with me for relationships, it kind of motivates me to make the best out of all the relationships I have, like with my family and with my friends, because I would feel really guilty if if somebody were to die and then I didn't have a good relationship with them, or if I just had a negative relationship that negatively affected somebody, I would feel guilty about that. So I use it as a motivator to
keep your relationship strong. That's a great example. Have you ever been motivated by guilt to seek forgiveness from someone for hurting someone or for... I remember so vividly. There have been several times in my life when I've had to do that. I remember them vividly, you know, and just feeling like I can't leave this here. I have to. And that's hard to do when you've done something wrong or when you're at fault to acknowledge that. And
it's always somewhat entertaining. Not entertaining is not the right word, but it's interesting to see people's reaction when you say do you forgive me, unless it's your family because they're used to it. But if it's somebody outside your family, they're not expecting you to say, because nobody says that for the most part. I mean,
funny you say that, because that's exactly what we say in our house. Do you forgive me?
Right.
Jonathan's like, nobody says that.
No, in my family.
Kidding.
Okay.
I'm kidding. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Raising Saints on AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Katie Wyatt, and we are here today with Emily, Jonathan, and Kaylee, and we are having a good, solid discussion about Catholic guilt. We're getting it all off our chests here, people, so we hope you're joining in on the catharsis. So, how can guilt be destructive or inhibitive in your efforts to live your faith?
I mean, there's a line to cross with guilt and regret, because you don't want to live your life in a regretful way that it inhibits what you're doing right now or how you're there's a certain amount of guilt that you should feel, and a certain amount of regret that you can have. But I think there's a line that if it gets too much, that it's affecting relationships now or affecting the way that you go about your day, I don't think that's healthy. I think that could be destructive.
I think that's why confession is so important. If you go to confession and then you're freed from all of your sins and you come back and you still feel guilty, then that can be detrimental to all of your relationships, because you're still carrying that weight around for no reason if you've fully confessed.
Right, and that isn't what God requires of us.
Right.
And Emily, you had talked about the seven, what were you talking about? The seven
forms of conscience.
And the first one is a scrupulous conscience.
Yeah.
Right.
I haven't written down here,
so. But this would probably fall into that. What you guys are talking about would probably fall into that category, right? Where you're so scrupulous that you don't allow yourself to be human to a degree. And that can be, that it could be impossible to move forward in your relationship with the Lord if you're not letting the Lord be the Lord.
If you're not spending your time praising God, then it's like you don't believe that he had the power to take away your sins or had the power to forgive you.
And I think this... Oh, go ahead, Jonathan.
I was just saying right.
Oh. Affirmation from Jonathan. This leads well into the clip I want to play, because as you can imagine, when I was Googling Catholic guilt, a lot of what I found was from a bitter perspective.
Same,
you know.
Here.
Yes, yeah. So fallen away Catholics who were pointing to the whole Catholic guilt thing as their reason for leaving the church. That made me feel so sad, because I don't think it's guilt that pushed them away. I think it was shame that pushed them away. And I think that shame and guilt are two very different things, but I think we get them confused. So let's talk about this for a second, and then we'll play the clip. What do you see as the difference between guilt and shame?
Good question.
Something to ponder. I don't know. Maybe you haven't thought about it.
Shame might be more of you want to hide from others or hide from yourself, because you don't feel right with how you acted. And guilt is maybe more of it can have more of a positive effect.
Okay. Anybody want to add to that?
I think shame has a lot to do with putting yourself down and making yourself feel less than because of an event, a thought, or something. Whereas guilt has a lot more benefits than drawbacks, I think.
And can sort of move you forward, whereas right. sort of stay stuck in shame. Well, Roy Pedophiles, I don't know if that's how it's pronounced, Pedophile, maybe, I'm not sure, might be French. But he's a Catholic speaker and an author and a presenter. And I found this clip of his on YouTube where he specifically talks about the difference between guilt and shame. So let's listen to that and then we'll comment on that.
What we have a bad rap for as Catholics isn't our Catholic guilt. It's our Catholic shame. You know, and we have to be real clear that there is a big difference between shame and guilt. Guilt is behavior focused. Guilt is the conscience being convicted in order to make a behavior change that is not sinful and more in line with God's teaching. Shame is person focused. Shame is, I am a bad person. I am defective. I am insufficient. Shame is any belief that takes me out of believing that I am anything other than God's most precious and beloved child.
Okay, so I thought that was a really good brief summary of the difference between guilt and shame. I didn't know if you guys had any reflections or thoughts on that or anything to add to it. Or,
well, yeah, like I guess he was kind of saying this also, but like Catholicism isn't like a shackle on us that like makes us just feel guilty about everything we do, but it like frees us, like it gives us the ability to like confess, to be like freed of our sins and not have to feel guilty anymore, and like, you know, learn and grow
and not wallow in shame but move forward in yeah. guilt. So Jonathan, I know you really want to talk about reconciliation related to this topic. Emily, you already brought it up, but I thought we could spend the last few minutes doing that, because this is, you know, partnered with the gift of guilt God gave us. It's the sacrament of reconciliation that Christ instituted. So let's talk about how the two are connected.
Yeah. When I was like searching, when I was browsing the World Wide Web about Catholic guilt, I found this, somebody posted something and they said, Catholic guilt is unconfessed sin. And I think that really summed it up for me, because, like when you confess your sins, it's such a powerful experience that like so few people take advantage of, because like when I was younger, my mom would force me to go to confession and it was awful and I hated it. And I feel like most adults and everybody feel the same way, and have the questions of like, why do we have to go to a priest and everything? But just like the fact that we're like reconciling us like symbolically, like with the community, because that's like, why do we confess to a priest and stuff? But also just like that God, it's just such a powerful experience. And I've like, when I, recent, like through the past couple months, like it was kind of like a spiritually low type thing. And, so it was like really frustrating, because I wanted to, like get back on like the God high that I normally have. And so it was through confession that like, after I went to confession, which I hadn't done in a couple months, like I just felt so like refreshed and like a new beginning, and it was just really great. And that's all I needed to like get back on the horse and keep going.
And that if people could understand or experience reconciliation like that, mm-hmm. there wouldn't be the bitter, angry posts about Catholic
yeah,
guilt, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's exactly the healing that people need, but that people avoid,
right.
because like you said, Jonathan, when you were little, you hated it. It was scary. It felt, you know, you felt ashamed of having to say, you know, but the burden that it lifts is what provides the healing
yeah.
and moves you past the shame and allows you to just have that healthy guilt.
Right.
Yeah.
I just wish that people who are like afraid of confession could just have the feeling that like a lot of us here have had, just that freeing feeling, because it's so like important to have that. And so I wish that they could just like get past the fear and just go for it.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Anything to add, Kaylee or Emily, about reconciliation? Or
I think a lot of people are so worried about being judged that they don't want to show up for confession. which is really unfortunate because we all preach and we all are supposed to understand that God is the only one that's going to judge us and that the priest is there to act in his place and to support us and encourage us. So I don't think a priest has ever guilted me into anything or like lectured me for anything that I've confessed. So I don't know, but hopefully people will start realizing that it's worth it to go.
And I think it goes back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago when it's hard to admit that you've done something wrong. It's just hard. It's awkward. It's hard to ask for forgiveness. It's hard to say, I'm sorry, you know, and it's really hard to go into the confessional with a priest you don't know and unload, you know, unload your sins. So it takes courage to do that. It takes sometimes prayerful preparation. But it is the way to keep the Catholic guilt in a healthy balance, I think, and to avoid it, letting it move into shame. I thought it would be appropriate to just close with a passage from the Gospel of Luke. It's Luke 15:7, and we'll close with this as our prayer because it's such a beautiful reminder of how God rejoices when we repent and when we come back to him and we turn away from sin. So in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to Raising Saints on AM 820, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Katie Wyatt. And until next time, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bye now.
Raising Saints is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt are available at stgabrielradio.com. Then he,